Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 68 on November 10th, 2013. Okay, the first thing that I want to talk about actually is a correction. I know that in between the last podcast and this one, I also posted an interview, which was really quite a lovely experience for me and for the gentleman who contributed. And this is the guy who went to a pro for the second time. I had so much fun with that interview. But the podcast previous to that, I was talking about a woman that had left a comment on FetLife, and she told her story about how she decided to explore pegging. She was appreciating my piece of writing, and she actually, this is a correction, because she actually read the article, How to Convince Her to Try It, not the article about why I love pegging, but I'm sorry for the error. I just wanted to let everybody know. And the next thing I want to talk about is a little bit more about CatalystCon. The keynote speaker of the closing ceremony, closing whatever that you want to call it for CatalystCon West, had the illustrious and infamous Jocelyn Elders. Now, I have spoken about Jocelyn Elders a number of times. I have written about her a number of times. Jocelyn Elders was, for an all too brief period of time, the Surgeon General under President Clinton. And the basics of what happened, this may not be the exact details of it, were that there was somebody asked her about masturbation. This was a World Health Organization, and they were meeting, and one of the topics, I believe, was teen pregnancy, kids getting involved in sex too early, and the resultant teen pregnancies that happen. So someone in the World Health Organization, or perhaps it was a reporter, asked her about masturbation. And being a wonderful, grounded, amazingly informed and open-minded woman, she said, well, I think it's a natural thing, and perhaps it ought to be taught about in our schools. So the conservative right grabbed that and totally blackballed her and used it to basically drive her out of her office, her post, and forced President Clinton to ask for her resignation, which was very sad. Because not only was she the first woman Surgeon General, she was also the first Black woman Surgeon General. So when that happened, Good Vibrations, which is a toy store that has been in San Francisco and online for ages, decades, they were a little upset about that because their belief was that masturbation is something that should be able to be talked about in public, and it shouldn't be this big hush-hush, horrible, obscene, bizarre thing, and there shouldn't be such sex negativity attached to it. So in Jocelyn Elder's honor, they decided to name the entire month of May Masturbation Month. Now, people who have been following my blog for some time, you know about Masturbation Month because for the past couple of years, what I do when Masturbation Month comes, which is May, is every single day I get off and I write something that tells you what was going through my mind when I got off. And it's kind of fun because it's like a whole new different fantasy every single day. It's really fun for me, of course. So this is all in Jocelyn Elders' honor. So Jocelyn Elders was the keynote speaker for the closing meeting. And I tell you, this woman is in her 80s. She is sassy in her 80s. She had a complete PowerPoint presentation that she showed us and talked about all kinds of things. She talked about how abstinence-only sex ed was a complete waste of time. And she said, more vows of abstinence have been broken than condoms. So the interviewer actually asked her to describe exactly what happened when all that went down with President Clinton. And it was kind of nice to hear a detailed accounting of the story because she didn't blame President Clinton at all. I mean, the powers that be, I mean, there wasn't much they could do because the public outcry and the religious right was really using it. And so it was kind of nice to hear that story. But, you know, one of the things that I was very surprised about was I just told you how Masturbation Month came about. She had no idea that Masturbation Month was in her honor, that it existed. She had no idea. Now, I actually met Jocelyn Elders at CatalystCon and shook her hand. She was being escorted around a little bit and introduced to people by Tom Stewart, who is owner and CEO of Sportsheets International, and as you may recall, was on my ASS panel. And so there I was in the vendor hall, and Tom Stewart brought Jocelyn Elders up and introduced her to me. And I believe my words were something along the lines of, "It is such an honor to meet you, ma'am. It is such an honor. Every time I think about you, I think about masturbation." And she laughed, and I laughed, and I shook her hand, and she walked away. Now, I thought that perhaps this would be an okay thing to say, that of course she knew about Masturbation Month, but there was this lovely moment in the keynote closing ceremony where there was an interviewer up on stage with Jocelyn Elders, and she said, "So you know that, you know, this month of May was named after you. It was in your honor, right?" And she said, "No, I had no idea. I didn't know anything about that." So the interviewer actually described the whole thing, just like I did to you, about how Good Vibrations did this, and this was in her honor and Masturbation Month. And it was really quite something to see, and I know she was very pleased. I got to tell you, I hope I am that sassy when I am in my 80s. She's quite a remarkable woman. She really is. So I think she was an excellent choice for the closing keynote speaker. And I want to thank Dee Dennis for that, because when she announced that that's who was going to be doing the closing keynote speaker, I was thrilled. I've always wanted to meet her, and I've always really had a lot of respect for her standing up for what she believed in and for speaking her mind in an atmosphere that was unfortunately surrounded by quite a bit of sex negativity. And she is still doing it, man. She is still doing it. Okay, so let's get on to the letters. Here we go. "My wife and I are both proud listeners of your show. We are still fairly new at pegging, and my main concern is that I don't feel the amount of pleasure I hear other people talking about feeling when receiving anal sex when she's pegging me. We have tried the prostate massage, and it just doesn't feel great. No mind-blowing excitement, no over-the-top enjoyment. I really want to enjoy her pegging me, but I worry that I'm just one of those guys that that's never going to feel true enjoyment from this sexual activity. Can I train myself to enjoy it? Am I putting too much pressure on myself? I am open and honest with her, and we continue to try, and I keep expecting that one time it will be mind-blowing, and she'll hit the right spot, and I will have the orgasm to end all orgasms. She gets so excited at the act of pegging, and I so want to enjoy myself. It's not uncomfortable, it's just not what I expected. We have tried multiple different dildos, prostate massagers, plugs, the Aneros, but nothing seems to send me over the edge. Again, anal sex is not uncomfortable. I just want to find a way to enhance my pleasure." Thank you for writing in, sir. This is a difficult one. Everybody is built differently. Everybody's physiological responses are different. And what contributes to those physiological responses is a myriad of elements. So it could be stress. It could be relaxation or lack thereof. It could be that you're just one of those guys that doesn't have a whole lot of sensory feedback down there. I mean, I'm quite sure that there are women who, even if their G-spot is stimulated perfectly, don't have that mind-blowing sensation that a lot of other women do. In fact, I actually know a couple of those. They really had not a lot of reaction in their G-spot. They're not real thrilled with sensation there. And since there's so many parallels between the G-spot and the prostate, I thought at least I'd bring that up to reassure you. Certainly there's nothing wrong, but I understand that, you know, the whole idea calls to you, she really enjoys it, and you just want to enjoy it a little bit more. One of the suggestions I have for you is to incorporate something that vibrates. It's possible that if you do that, that it's enough of an increased sensation with the vibrations that perhaps it'll wake that area up a little bit. You know, normally what I tell men is, because sometimes what happens is it's just a little bit of sort of cursory exploration and they don't really spend too much time on it, them or their partners. And then they make this snap decision of, okay, I guess I just am one of those guys that just don't have a whole lot of sensation there. Now, the prostate as well as the G-spot can be areas where you sort of have to wake them up a little bit. In the beginning, if you just stick your finger in there and rub around a little bit, chances are fairly decent that you're part of the population that doesn't have this immediate sort of, whoa, that feels good. I mean, that happened to me with G-spot. It took a little bit of playing around, a little bit of sensitization, if you will. So that's a possibility for you as a man. However, in your letter, you describe that you guys have done a lot of things. You've tried the prostate massage, you've done the different toys, you've done the Eneros, and you haven't had a whole lot of results, basically. So the one thing that I would have left to suggest to you would be get some vibration in there and see what happens. There are different toys that vibrate for you to choose from. There's a friend of mine who recently talked about a new head that attaches onto the oscillator. Now, granted, this is an expensive option that specifically is for G-spot, and he uses it with a condom over it for his prostate, and he just swears by it. It absolutely loves it. Now, I own an oscillator, and it is an amazing sort of subtle machine. It's really nice, but it's not really strong in the vibrations. And I'm thinking that if one of the things that's happening with you is that you're just not feeling a whole lot, maybe you get a vibe in there and just go for it and see if that makes it intense enough for you to experience some pleasure. There are vibrating toys like the Eneros makes the Vice that you can put in and just leave in and see what that feels like to just have it vibrating inside you. So that's a suggestion. I think there are others as well. That's the one I've heard a lot of good feedback about. I don't think there are any other toys that I would recommend as far as solo use, but another possibility is to use a dildo that has a vibe option. There are flare-based single dildos that have the hole in the base that you can put a bullet vibe in. And those bullet vibes, a lot of times are weak, the ones that come with them. So anytime a toy comes with a bullet vibe, consider replacing it with a Wii vibe. I think they phased out the Salsa, and now they have the Tango. Same, same. It's just slightly different shaped. It will fit in your dildo. So consider using that because, you know, the Tango is longer, and I think the vibes would really sort of conduct, so to speak, through the silicone of the dildo further up the shaft of it and hopefully right in direct connection with your prostate. So that's kind of the last thing I can recommend. It sounds like you have given it like the old college try, you know? It is possible that you are one of those guys that just doesn't have a whole lot of sensation there, because not all guys do. It's fairly rare to feel pretty much nothing or not a whole lot, not really exciting, but it happens. So good for you that you have really explored this, and it's possible that you may decide to keep on doing the pegging just because your wife loves it, and that it's kind of a fun thing, even though it's not intensely sexually stimulating. So that's kind of all I have for you, sir. I wish I had more. I wish I had the magic bullet. I would like the magic bullet for everyone. Okay, next letter. I found your blog recently and listened to a couple of podcasts and was wondering if you have any good advice on how to get a partner interested in pegging. I've brought it up with my wife a few times, but been repeatedly rebuffed. Her stated concern is that she's afraid that she might hurt me, though I've tried to reassure her that I trust her and that I would let her know if she were doing anything that hurt me or made me uncomfortable. Nonetheless, she has continued to rebuff any request to consider it further. I have a feeling that there may be other issues with it, but she denies it, and I can't get any more feedback out of her. The funny thing is that she will gladly use anal toys on me and doesn't mind me popping my Aneros or another plug-in while we are intimate. But there is just something about pegging that bugs her a lot. But I so very much want it from her and would love to be able to convince her to allow us to try it even just once. Any suggestions or advice would be greatly appreciated, and keep up the good work on your podcast and blog. Okay, let's take this apart a little bit. You guys have already, first of all, the most important thing is that, you know, you say she will gladly use anal toys on you and doesn't mind you using your Aneros or another plug while you are intimate. If she doesn't want to talk about it, that kind of hampers the whole investigative process, shall I say. Because really, the best thing would be for you guys to have a very frank and open conversation about exactly what it is that bothers her, but it doesn't really sound like she's quite comfortable enough to do that at this point. One of the things I want to say is that because of the whole strapping it on and how it's kind of, in some women's minds, messing with those very strict gender roles, and they can't quite psychologically and emotionally get past the idea that they're strapping on a cock and fucking some guy. It really messes with their head. There are women who don't mind anal play at all, who simply refuse to take that last step of strapping it on because of that reaction to what they see as violating those very strict gender roles. So she could be one of those. And if that's the case, then other than letting her use anal toys on you, I mean, one of the things I might suggest is for you to get whatever dildo size that you're comfortable with and have her use that on you. And it's possible, I mean, I hate to say this because I know how much you really want her to fuck you. I hear that in your message, but it's possible that you may be one of these guys that's as far as she's going to go in your relationship, and you just have to accept that that's where she is. And maybe some years down the line, she might decide that this is worth exploring. But the only other suggestion I have for you is to give her more information about how much pleasure can be derived from the prostate. You know, send her to my website anywhere. Give her information about how the G-spot is very, very much like the prostate. And that amazing amount of pleasure that can be derived from stimulating that spot is exactly what you're after, and that you would absolutely love to experience that stimulation, not only with her fingers or with toys or with the Aneros while you two are making love, but you would love to have that be happening while you both are in each other's arms and you're kissing, and you might make a sort of an intimate case about it as well. So she may go for it, she may not. She may want to talk about it, she may not. Some of these taboos come down very, very slowly. She may refuse to talk about it, but be happy with stimulating your prostate, however, for quite some time, and then years down the line, all of a sudden she might come to you and say, you know what, I'm going to do this. This sounds like a cool thing now, and totally surprise you. But I don't really have any other suggestions than trying to talk with her, which it sounds like you've done. I wish I did. This is another, I wish I had the magic bullet. If only I had magic bullets for everyone who called in, then I could just make you all so happy. In the end, pun intended, you are fortunate, sir, that you have a woman who is quite happy to stimulate you anally. That's an awesome thing. So be grateful for that and see what you can do. And then, you know, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. Good luck to you. Okay, we heard back from a man that I talked about. I read his letter in podcast number 66, and this is the guy who had, and you guys get so inventive sometimes, it amazes me. He had the idea of, because they'd recently moved into a new home, of sending a fake thing from Tantus through the mail, saying, you know, to the previous tenants. And I just kind of put the kibosh on that whole thing and said, no, don't do that. Good grief. That's so complicated. Come on, just talk to her. So we hear back from this man. A short time ago, I asked you about the crafty and likely crazy idea of sending a strap-on catalog to my apartment, but addressed to the former tenants, using the guise of a mismailing to somehow get my girlfriend interested in strap-ons and pegging, although you advised against going through with the machinations, nice word, sir, of a fake piece of mail, I felt that I had to give it a try. I actually contacted Tantus and purchased a $25 gift certificate. I then went about crafting a short fake apology letter from Tantus to the former tenants. In the letter, I mentioned that the glitter strap-on harness that was ordered was unfortunately still out of stock, and that the included gift certificate code was a way of making amends. I also included some information about male prostate stimulation and pegging that I found at our local adult toy store. When my girlfriend first saw the letter mixed in among our other mail addressed from Tantus and with no receiver's name on it, she stated that she believed that it must have been meant for the other tenants. After over 2 weeks of sitting untouched on our coffee table, I recently came home to find the envelope open and its contents examined. She has not thrown the letter away, but she also has not said anything to me about it yet. I intend on leaving the letter on our table for a while longer to see if and when she says something to me about it. Even if she chooses not to purchase a strap-on, maybe she will actually use the gift card code to purchase a new toy. The fact that the letter didn't go straight away into the trash is very, very promising, as is the fact that during a recent exciting session of oral, she actually slid her finger into my anus for the first time ever, and I loved it. I am now going to be much, much more vocal on letting her know that I enjoy the stimulation around and now thankfully in my anus when she goes down on me. I am still trying to find some other more creative ways to get her to think about female empowerment, prostate massage, and strap-ons. Hopefully the next time we visit the adult toy store by us, I won't feel so afraid to head over to the strap-ons and harnesses. Maybe she will even take me to that section on her own. We will likely talk more about our fantasies in the coming days and weeks, and I also look forward to doing the Mojo upgrade with her and someday, hopefully attending one of the pegging, strapping it on, and bending him over seminars that I have seen listed. Just planting the seeds right now, and hopefully something will grow from this. Oh, I'm so glad to hear back from you, and I am surprised that you went through with it. Machinations indeed, sir. Pretty creative, I must say. And when I heard that you got a $25 gift certificate for a harness, there's not a lot of harnesses out there for $25, at least the nice ones. So that kind of surprised me. I remember having that reaction when I first read your letter. But I'm always interested and kind of fascinated when I see people who, and this is not a criticism, so please don't take it this way, but when I see people who are not at the level of having complete open and honest and forthcoming and unembarrassed and all of those adjectives type of communication. So they kind of have to sneak it in there here and there. And I hear that that's what you're doing. And it sounds like you have had somewhat of a measure of success. Certainly the finger in your anus is a huge measure of success, because anybody who has read my Convincing Her to Try It knows that once you've got that finger in your anus, you've got one foot through the door, so to speak. You know, you have one finger in your anus, and that's not very far away from other things in your anus. So that's a really good sign. I'm glad that it seems to be going well for you. And I'm glad that you're not the kind of guy who doesn't have the patience to do this. I mean, you know, all of these different things that you're doing to kind of create the situation where you're introducing this to her slowly, so to speak, requires patience. And that's one of the things I recommend: information, patience, and communication. So you've got it going on. Please keep us informed as to what happens next, because I would love to be playing the music for you, sir. I think it's not very far away, is what it sounds like to me. Okay, and now I'm actually quite happy to be playing the music. It is pegging celebration time. Here's the letter. You may remember you read letters from me on some earlier podcasts. We are the Never Heard of It to Sign Me Up Cowboy in 24 Hours couple from podcast 56. We are in a long-distance dom-sub relationship, met on FetLife, and are loving it. We had met for coffee and talk in August, parentheses, podcast 59, and had hit it off and decided to meet again and play. I am her dom, she is my sub, so you could say that is our main focus, but we both enjoy a side order of switch, and the pegging play fits nicely into that niche for both of us. I have explored some anal play in a previous relationship with butt plugs and handheld dildos, but had never been pegged, and I have never been with a woman who had any interest in receiving ass play, so had no experience in giving anal stimulation. My lady friend was a total virgin, never received anal play of any kind, and had never so much as fingered anyone else's ass either. Well, we finally got together for 2 days last month. We met at a location between where we each live at a nice hotel in a major city. First time for straight sex, and first time for pegging, both on the same day. I'll cut to the chase. We had awesome vanilla-ish sex to break the ice. Rested for a while, played with floggers and riding crop, which was a new experience for her, which she loved, by the way. Played around with some other toys to mutual satisfaction. We certainly had some chemistry. She was dripping wet most of the time we were playing, and I was able to introduce her to her G-spot in a way that her previous partners had not managed to do. Pretty powerful stuff for both of us. She gripped my arm so hard when I was massaging her G-spot that she almost drew blood. She had no idea she was gripping that hard. Finally, late in the day, we were ready for some strap-on play for the first time. I had made sure I was as clean as possible earlier in the day, using a Fleet enema bottle to douche my rectum 3 or 4 fills of clean, warm water. 89 cents at the drugstore, well spent. Till it ran clean, and we had later both showered, of course. She had bought some equipment, which she brought out and showed me. An Aslan leather Jaguar harness in black, a Tantus Charmer silicone dildo, midnight purple, 6.8 inches long, 1.4 inches diameter, with some fun-looking ridges on it, and a borosilicate glass butt plug, 3 inches long, 1.75 inches in diameter. That's a little hefty. The dildo looked fine. I've had larger dildos in my ass before, so I was not at all concerned about taking it. The butt plug made my eyes pop a bit, though. Holy cow, it looked big. She also pulled out a pair of lacy see-through panties and matching bra from crossdress.com. We were both naked. She laid me on the bed face down and started by massaging my back, arms, and legs to relax me. Then she dressed me in the lingerie she had bought for me and applied some eyeliner and lipstick to me. Hey, if you're going to be kinky, folks, you might as well go the whole hog. We made out for half an hour or so, kissing and caressing each other, but not too intense. Then she laid me down again, pulled my panties down, snapped on a snazzy-looking purple latex glove, and drizzled lube down my ass crack, applied a little more to her fingers, and began to massage my opening. Gradually, she pressed harder, and eventually slipped her pinky inside me. It felt real good as she gently fingered me, moving up to her forefinger, sliding it in and out, adding more lube, and finally slipping two fingers inside me. She asked me if I was okay, and if it was uncomfortable every couple of minutes as she explored my ass. I loved it, and was mostly silent except for a lot of mmms. After maybe 10 minutes of finger play, she thought she had me stretched a little, and picked up the butt plug. I'll have to admit, it was a struggle at first. She pressed gently and waited, and it felt like I was never going to relax my sphincter enough to get it in, but I helped her, and by rocking it in and out with a little pressure, it gradually worked its way deeper and deeper without any pain, and then magically popped all the way in. It felt great once it was all the way home, and we went back to making out again. I fingered her pussy and sucked her breasts, and she played with my balls and cock, and we kissed a lot. Finally, she asked me if I was ready. I said I was, and assumed the position on all fours while she strapped on the harness and attached the dildo. I slid the butt plug out for her and waited while she lubed up, and then for the first time felt her ease the end into my ass very slowly and tentatively. She had been very concerned that she would not hurt me, so she was moving very slowly. However, after that big butt plug, I could feel there was almost no resistance to the dildo, so I reached back, grabbed a leather strap, and pulled her into me, taking the dildo to the hilt. She asked me if I was okay. I think I said something like, "Oh, fuck, baby, yeah." And with that, she began to ass fuck me, moving her hips to stroke in and out, slowly at first, then a little faster, getting the feel for it. It felt amazing. I loved the feeling of fullness back there and the sensation of the dildo moving across my prostate. My cock had gone semi-soft, but I was loving every second. After a while, her knees were getting tired in that position, so she pulled out and I rolled onto my back and lifted my legs up onto her shoulders. She leaned over me and fucked me in that position for maybe 5 minutes more. We kissed and cuddled for a while, then we cleaned up and drifted off to sleep together. I didn't come, but I loved every second of the experience. The next morning, she had to go home early in the day, so there was no time for more pegging, but the following week we met up again for another day and night. She fucked me, I fucked her, and I gave her her first taste of anal play with a tiny, cute little pink butt plug. Maybe we'll write you and tell you some more about that weekend another week if you think your listeners might be interested. And then this man wrote back with an additional email with a postscript and said this: "One little detail I forgot to include in my previous message today. When my lovely partner paused and told me she had to try a different position at the end of our doggy session, I could not help myself from wiggling and gyrating my ass at her just to feel her dildo moving inside me and over my prostate some more. She told me after she got a big kick out of that. I looked over my shoulder and gave her a dirty grin, and we moved on. I'm such an ass slut." I should also say how impressed I am with how GGG she is, and what an amazing job she did with the whole scene that day. I'm so lucky to have found her. She's a total peach, and I couldn't have wished for a better experience losing my anal virginity. First, I have to say that this is probably one of the most well-written experiences that I have received so far. I've been on the receiving end of a few stories about things that are just so poorly written that I have to go through and edit the entire thing before I either post it or talk about it, because there's so many spelling errors and grammar errors. And this was an absolute delight, sir. So thank you for your articulation, for your articulate command of words and spelling and things. And you tell a good story. I'm really happy for you guys. I'm really happy that it went so well. And we would always love to hear more stories. Can't promise I'll put them on the podcast, but it's a pretty good bet that I will. And it's really nice to have heard your story from the beginning. I'm happy that it's working out for you. And you sound like you two are having just a fine time together. Okay. Wow. It's like, you need to pause a little bit between something like that and the next letter. That's what it feels like. Here's the next one. First and foremost, congratulations on your kudos from kinkley.com. It's really hard to create something as wonderful and supportive as you have, and even harder to maintain it. My mistress and I discovered your blog a few months ago and have really been enjoying it. I consider our genesis and relationship somewhat unconventional when compared to many who enjoy pegging. Actually, I believe we were fated to be together. I've enjoyed anal antics since I was rather young. I was playing around back there before I even knew what an orgasm was. My first wife had a take-it-or-leave-it feeling about pegging, and a definitely leave-it feeling about being penetrated anally herself. We were married for nearly 10 years, and it was shortly after leaving her to find my authentic self that I found my mistress. Mistress and I met at a local munch, and thank heavens I haven't been without her since. After a year of dating and another couple of living together, we were married. It's been a journey and an adventure, and has provided us both with many opportunities for growth. So what's unconventional, you may ask? Well, my life partner, wife, and mistress have severe PTSD and depression, resulting from an extensive history of physical, emotional, and sexual abuse. From as early as 6, she has memories of traumatic experiences perpetrated by a father she should have been able to trust. As you can imagine, this has made it difficult for her to be open to traditional male penetrative sexual activities. At times, even touch can be an issue. However, our story is not all dark and dreary. Mistress very much enjoys power exchange, as do I. She likes to be in control, where I like to be of service. So this is where pegging dovetails so nicely into our life and our master-slave dynamic. It is a very acceptable way for both of us to be intimate in a sexual way. Joining in that way, with her as the giver and me the receiver, allows us to remain intimately connected as partners, lovers, mistress and slave, and husband and wife. I would like to thank you for the recommendations for strap-on harnesses. Mistress is a big and, of course, beautiful woman, and we have found that the spare parts Jacques fits snugly and stays in place very well. Mistress just bought the Aslan for her birthday, and we are looking forward to the fitting and the first use. We have also benefited from your knowledge regarding toxic toys. It'll be silicone all the way for us from here on out. Vicskin makes a favorite of ours, as does Tantus. Both companies make very fine products. With Mistress being larger, one thing we have been looking for was something a bit longer, but not bigger around. It's surprisingly hard to find. I persevered and discovered one absolutely delightful toy that I wanted to share. It's called Mr. Slim by Au Naturel. It's slender, at about 1.25 to 1.5 inches, harness compatible, and plenty long, over 8 inches insertable. That's a really good share. Thank you, sir. And finally, he goes on to say, my question? Well, I was wondering if you could turn your newly honed toxic toy knowledge towards this toy and tell me if it's gonna kill me and not in a good way. Thanks, Ruby, and keep the fantastic information and the so sexy voice coming. Oh, wow. Thank you so much for those kind words. Okay, let me answer your question about the toy first. The toy is listed as containing 2 materials. One is TPR and TPE. These are called thermoplastics, thermoplastic resin, and I believe TPE is thermoplastic elastomer, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, the good news is that these are almost always phthalate free. So it's not a matter of toxic chemicals seeping into your body. But part of the problem with thermoplastics is that they are porous. So they can hold bacteria and they cannot be sterilized. So, I mean, it's lovely that you found the exact size of dildo that works for you, because that's the deal, you know? Whatever works for you, whatever size you want is that the magic formula for you. So it's great that you found something the length and width that you wanted. What you need to do with this thing is always use a condom. that will lengthen the life of the toy. The toy's not going to last forever. It's not silicone. It will eventually break down a little bit, and it will eventually need to be replaced. One of the things about thermoplastics is that it's still kind of a really unstable material. And when you talk about silicone, it's inert. TPR and TPE are definitely not inert. And a lot of times what they do to soften these plastics are to put mineral oil in there. And it doesn't contain phthalates, but at the same time, it's a very unstable material and it does tend to break down over time. So if you have any kind of allergy to mineral oil, you might have a reaction to it. But I mean, if it works and it's great, go for it. But definitely cover it with a condom and you will be able to lengthen the life of that toy. Don't keep it for too long. I do notice that in the description of it, it says pleasantly scented. Oh my God, people, don't scent your fucking sex toys. And I don't know, I had to say that because it's such a bizarre thing. One of the things that we do talk about, all of us who are pretty intense about the whole toxic toy thing, is if there's a scent, get rid of it. Because obviously the ideal is silicone, but I totally understand that you could not find exactly what you wanted in silicone. One of the toys that I might recommend to you for strap-on is the Happy Valley Silicone Fuse. And the name of the toy itself is called the Wilde, and it's got an E on the end, W-I-L-D-E. I do believe that it's 9 inches in total length and at least 7 3/4 or 7.5 insertable. And I'm pretty sure that it's just over 1.5 inches. So it's not as slender as you would like, but it's a possibility that you might want to consider. I did a search earlier, actually, because I got a letter from a guy who wanted pretty much almost what you're asking for, but a little bit wider. He wanted 8 inches long and about 1.625 inches in diameter. And I hear that you are actually wanting something more along the lines of 1.25 inches would be ideal. This is a perfect example when I'm teaching classes and everybody wants to know, okay, what's the best equipment? Oh my gosh. It's like asking a woman, what's the best way to bring you to an orgasm? You want 100 different answers? You know, you got them. And it's almost the same with guys because, you know, their inner physiology is just as complicated and just as different as a woman's G-spot. So it's not a matter of, okay, you know, this works for everybody, because it really doesn't. And you are not the first man I have heard of who really likes the length and a smaller diameter. So it's great that you know what you like, it's great that you know what you want, and it's great that you found it. Just use a condom on that thing. The fact that this dildo is actually dual density is actually really cool. That's good to find. I mean, it's one of the lesser dual density dildos, but at the same time, good for you for finding something that works. Okay, let me see here. Okay, moving on from that whole toxic toy question, let me make some observations and comments and things from the beginning of your message. This is so heartwarming to me. This is such a lovely story of her needs are not the usual, your needs are not the usual. And, you know, a lot of times I think that we're already in that territory because we're talking about pegging, and not a whole lot of people think pegging is a really natural thing to do. They think it's very taboo. They think the switching of roles is really bizarre and taboo and strange and weird. And you two have added layers of complication to that. But I really hear how you just seem to fit. You fit because you're submissive and you want to serve and you want to do what works for her. And she fits because she feels more comfortable being in control. And I can relate to that. You know, I'm dominant. I don't have PTSD. I don't have as unfortunate of a beginnings as your partner. And that just really, that touched my heart. That's a tough beginning. So I'm very happy for the both of you that you have found a way to have a sexual relationship that works for you. It just seems to fit. I loved your description of the whole thing. So good for you for finding something that worked. not only something that worked, but something that worked that still had that element of intimacy and closeness and connection. Because in the end, I just really think that that's all what we're looking for and what feeds us to a certain extent. When there's been trauma and things, that connection, that intimacy can be very hard to accept, to find in a palatable form. So good for you two that you found it. I'm very happy for both of you. Okay, here's the next letter. I came across your blog and podcast earlier this week thanks to the Kinkley Top 100 blog sites article. I am now hooked and look forward to catching up on all of your podcasts. I have enjoyed anal play for many years, and I'm sure your podcast will help broaden my experiences and enjoyment. I have an out-of-the-ordinary situation I wanted to bring forth. A little background first. I am a 57-year-old straight male living in the Midwest. I am also a prostate cancer survivor. I was diagnosed at a young age, just shy of my 49th birthday. I was treated surgically and am now cancer-free. Once I allowed myself to heal, I continued to enjoy anal play, but obviously the bonus of prostate stimulation is now gone. I continue to enjoy both outer and internal anal stimulation. I like being filled and will often wear a butt plug. While it took me a number of years to regain my libido and erectile function, I continued to enjoy anal play. It helped fill an erotic and sexual gap or need while I recovered and eventually regained erectile function. Sidebar. One of the very annoying side effects of the surgical treatment is that there is pain when I orgasm. I'm still looking into why this happens and if anything can be done to correct it. Any leads that anyone may have out there would be greatly appreciated. Meanwhile, I can enjoy erotic anal play without the need of orgasm, if that makes any sense. My point to all of this, if there is one, is that anal stimulation and penetration can be just as enjoyable without the added bonus of P-spot or prostate stimulation or even an end goal of orgasm. I hope the thought of an older horny man doesn't bother you or otherwise make you uncomfortable. If it does, I ask that you look upon the writings of Joan Price. We'll all get there someday. Keep up the great and important work. And he signs it, Horny Old Bastard. Okay, so like, Horny Old Bastard, dude, you are 1 year older than me, okay? So yeah, don't even go there, old, please. Although your mention of Joan Price, she is lovely. I'm trying to remember the name of her book, something about at our age. Joan Price is like the queen of senior sex. She started writing about this and making observations about, you know, the changes and the different things that happen when you get older and you continue to be sexual, which, you know, a lot of people do. It's a complete myth and ridiculous thing that you stop having sex and stop being sexual at a certain age. And Joan Price is certainly making that obvious to people. And let me check and see real quick what the name of her book is. Okay. I really like having the pause button on my Audacity software, which is what records all this for you lovely people. Okay, Joan Price has a blog, and this is the first part is way cool, and it's called betterthaniverexpected.blogspot.com, and the book she wrote is Naked at Our Age, and it's she's written a book called Better Than I Ever Expected. She's written another book called Naked at Our Age, and let's see, the last one here looks like Ageless Erotic. I see her when I go to CatalystCon. She's speaking all the time. She is like the voice of senior sex. So it's pretty cool that you brought her work up, because I'm very familiar with her and I have met her. She's a lovely woman, and yes, we will absolutely all get there someday. Now, as far as your situation, some time ago, I recall that I had a podcast where a woman wrote in and asked, she and her husband were actually enjoying pegging, and then he was diagnosed with prostate cancer, so he was going to have his prostate removed. She was wondering if there was any way that they could continue pegging, what might happen, kind of wondering what to expect and sort of hoping that they continue having this intimate connection. So one of the things that I did at this podcast, which I will look and find the number of for you, is I went to the Eneros Forums. The Eneros Forums, I've said it before, I'll say it a million more times if I need to, is an amazing place because it's the only place that has a whole bunch of men talking about sexual things and being very supportive and encouraging of each other. So I figured if there was any place that someone had been through something like this, it would be the Eneros Forums. And sure enough, I did find one man. And I sent an email to the woman that asked that question and gave her this man's contact information. As I recall, he did have the surgery. He researched very thoroughly about what kinds of surgeries and chose carefully to try and hopefully choose the type of surgery that would preserve the most nerve endings for him because he loved the prostate stimulation so much. And I'm pretty sure he was just into them. I'm not sure if he was into pegging or just the prostate stimulation. It doesn't really matter. The point is I believe his percentage that he described of the percentage loss of sensation was about 40%. And he said it was very much a still a intimate thing that he and his wife enjoyed, especially because he had the same thing happen of the loss of erectile function. I believe when I spoke with him via email, that had not really returned, but they really enjoyed the pegging because it was still a way to connect intimately. So what I'm going to do is send you, sir, this man's contact information. Well, what I'm going to do is send you the link to the blog post where he talks about having his surgery. And perhaps you too can talk about it. That is the only other person that I have been able to search out on the internet who's talking about this. I'm sure there's others, but perhaps I just didn't dig deeply enough. But so I kind of do know what you mean. It does make sense when you say that you can enjoy erotic anal play without the need of an orgasm. Absolutely. It's still a connection. It's still intimate. It is still touch. And I think that's absolutely lovely. So thank you for your contribution. If there's any other couples out there, men out there who have experienced this, please feel free to write in and add your 2 cents worth and let us know what your experiences are because once again, this is a place of sharing knowledge. We all learn from each other, and I welcome all input. So, you old horny bastard, or horny old bastard, that I'm so reluctant to put the O word in there, the old, because you're only a year older than me. Thank you for writing in, sir. Okay, another letter. I love your site and podcast. My wife and myself have been pegging for some time, and you have given us some great advice on harness and pegging in the past. I would love to attend your classes, but we live on the East Coast, and most, if not all, of your classes are on the West Coast. Any chance of making your classes available to watch on Skype, with payment, of course, or being recorded and available to watch on your site later for the entrance fee? I think this would be a great way to get your instruction out there to people unable to attend your classes in person and think that this is something that my wife and I would enjoy watching. Thanks for the push, sir. This is absolutely not even on the back burner anymore. It's making its way up to the front. There's a whole bunch of things that I've had to do lately to try and get ready for the release of the book that's going to have one of my stories in it, Women's Best Erotica of 2014, which is due out anytime this month. So what I've been working on is getting all of my erotic stories, which previously and up until now have only been available to the people who subscribe to my website, Erotica. Those stories are going up as Amazon Kindle downloads. So they are now available on Amazon Kindle. And if you put in the Amazon Kindle store, if you put in Ruby Rider, you will find them. I've got about 2/3 of them up by now. So I've been working on that because when the book comes out, if someone reads my story and loves it, the very first thing they're going to do is to go to Amazon and put my name in and search to see if they can find anything else. So that's absolutely part of what I've been working on recently. And then I've got the book that I'm still finishing. That is on the front burner. But the videos, I can realize, are so important because as a sex educator, I love the thought of going anywhere and everywhere and teaching about this passion that I have. I love that thought very, very much because that's what I want to do. I want to spread the word. I want to teach. I want to tell you all about it. I want to give you the basics. I want to give you more than the basics in the advanced class. And I just, yes, this is what I want to do. So I wish that I could just hop on a plane and go over the East Coast and go for it. But until that happens and I have unlimited funds from the success of my stories in my book or a private benefactor that is so into the whole idea of pegging that he decides to fund me traveling around and teaching people, which, hey, you never know, could happen. It's a great idea for me to record those classes. To record those classes and have them available for everyone everywhere, because even if I start traveling the country, there's a lot of places I may not get to. So thanks for the push, because that is absolutely something I'm planning. Now, speaking of me traveling around and teaching some more, I brought up last time that I absolutely plan on going to DC and duplicating the ASS panel for CatalystCon East and spreading the word in DC and on the East Coast. And I mentioned something about that I would have a donation link on my website soon. I mean, bless your hearts, people. Two of the people who listened to the podcast wrote me already and said, I really want to support you, so where's the link? It was kind of silly of me, a little bit bad planning, to announce that before I actually had the link up. But it is live now. My web guru has made an entirely different page with a donation screen on it that allows you to give whatever you're comfortable with, whatever you feel moved to give for a contribution to my trip to DC to get back there and do the ASS panel with Charlie Glickman, Tom Stewart, and C.T. Schenck. What's happening with that is that I figured out all the costs of it, and to my best estimate, it's going to cost me about a cool $1,000 to get there and back. So donate what you can. I appreciate anything and everything. There's a drop-down menu of specific amounts, but then my web guru, in a moment of genius, put a link underneath that said, or donate another sexier amount. And you can fill in whatever amount you like. It doesn't make any difference if it's a round number or not. So if any of you out there are feel moved to support my trip to DC, it would be very, very appreciated. So let me tell you the bonus, because donations are awesome. I love that you are all so into pegging that you feel passionately about this subject enough to actually donate for me going to DC and telling more people about it. But I do have something to give. And what I have to give are my subscriptions. So anyone donating $50 or more will get a free subscription to all of my erotica. And what you're going to get if you donate $50 or more is you're going to get the I Want It All subscription. What that gets you is a story a month for a year, but you also get every single story in my archive. Off the top of my head, unfortunately, I don't know how many that is, but it's really close to somewhere around 35, 36, something like that. So you're going to get a lot of stories, plus 12 for the year. It's quite a deal, $50. And all of those donations that come through on this donation page are going to be put aside for my trip to DC, and you will have my profuse appreciation and gratitude, because this is the only way I'm going to get there, people. So thank you in advance. Thank you for the two people that already wrote in intending to donate and not finding the link. It is live. So thanks to everybody that has any urge to donate, who can donate, who will donate. Really, really appreciated. And at that, I think we are going to wrap this up. You can leave your questions either at 805-500-6544. That's 805-500-6544. Call in and let me know what's on your mind and what you want to know about pegging. You can follow me on Twitter at Ruby_Ryder. I have a Facebook page I would love a thumbs up on. It's Ruby Ryder's Pegging Paradise. You can subscribe to my blog directly, and my blog actually has some sexy pics and different things that never show up on my podcast. My podcast is available on iTunes and can also be listened to directly on my blog at peggingparadise.com. If you do download it from iTunes, it would be awesome if you rate my podcast and write me a cool review. I would really appreciate that. You can send all your questions and stories to ruby@peggingparadise.com as well if you don't want to call in on the question line. Or you can click the Write Ruby links at the upper right of every single page on my blog. And of course, the fascinating, fun, exciting, lusty, and cool thing that is happening on Ruby Ryder's Pegging Paradise now is that you can also call in to that number, 805-500-6544, and you can record your orgasm. And there's a very, very good chance I will play it at the end of my show, because I have another one for you here. So let me close and say thank you very much for downloading and listening. Happy pegging, and enjoy the recording.
Oh my God. Oh my God.